came to a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat down at the Lord's feet and listened to him speaking. Now Martha, who was distracted with all the serving, said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister is leaving me to do the serving all by myself? Please tell her to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha," he said, "you worry and fret about so many things, and yet few are needed. Indeed, only one. It is Mary who has chosen the better part. It is not to be taken from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Amen.
There is a place in the Synoptic Gospels where Jesus quotes a saying against him. He says that when John the Baptist came, eating and drinking nothing, the Pharisees said that he was possessed, and so were able to ignore him. And when Jesus came eating and drinking, they said, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard." Now we have no reason to believe that Jesus was a glutton or a drunkard, but only that the people who want to find something to disagree with will always be gratified and will always be able to exaggerate one quality or another in the people that they're opposing as a good reason for dismissing them. But we're not to think that Jesus was insensible of practical realities. A lot of what we say about Jesus in church, in our discourse about him, in theology about Jesus, is modelled on the fourth gospel. And this is because the way of presenting Jesus, the Christology, is the most advanced in the fourth gospel. So theologians will naturally go for that way of looking at Jesus. Scripture scholars will often refer us back to the Jesus of the other gospels and bring forth great fruit in the process. In the fourth gospel, where Jesus is sitting talking to the woman at the well, where the disciples have gone to the town to buy food, at the end of the story, at the end of the incident, the disciples come forward and say, "Master, have something to eat." And Jesus turns around to them and says, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And as usual, the disciples interpret him literally on the surface and say, "Who's been bringing the food?" And Jesus says, "My food and drink is to do the will of my Father." And you may gain the impression that Jesus doesn't care about food at all, you know, what to do with it, it's just something that has to come along. And then think of the vital significance of the great miracle, which the only one which is shared by all four Gospels, the multiplication of the loaves. And this feeding of the multitude in the desert is Jesus' answer to the disciples saying, "Send the crowd away, otherwise they'll faint on the way home." Jesus says, "No, give them food to eat yourselves." So it's clear that he knows that as well as teaching people, he has to look after their bodies. And so the balanced impression of Jesus is that he underlines all of humanity. And so we shouldn't take too seriously any suggestion that in this story of Martha and Mary, he is definitively pushing away the concerns of Martha. It is, I think, a much simpler story than that. And I would say it's almost certainly an original, it's a real happening It's one of those little sayings that is a spark struck from Jesus by a real happening, which somebody remembered and which brought its own message much later on when an argument arose. And I think what Jesus is saying is that the one thing that is necessary ought to be for the healing of Martha, not for the sentencing of Mary to enter into the living hell, which is the kitchen of Bethany. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus in the robe of a disciple. This is a circumlocution for being a disciple, to sit at the feet of someone in the scripture. Indeed, the gesture which a disciple, would-be disciple, used to make to a rabbi would be to go to him and sit at his footstool while he was teaching. And this would be a mute request to be taken on as a pupil. And that's what Mary is doing. And for all time, she therefore typifies the deed of surrender to Christ, which all of us must make. That we must go to him and ask him personally to be our teacher. And that is indeed essential. No one can be saved who doesn't come to Christ and listen when they recognize him, doesn't surrender to him when the gospel sounds in their ears. But what about Martha? She too is working hard to welcome the Lord, and she has converted all her devotion into operations. It's all sacrifice. Everything's going out and nothing's coming back in. And the gospel says she's distracted. She's beside herself. When you get beside yourself, you're no longer the real person you ought to be. Is standing on one side of the real person and going off kilter and slightly crazy in the process. And the symbol of generosity and hospitality has taken you over and enslaved you. And what Martha needs above all else is liberation. And so Jesus is not insulting her, not refusing her by what he says. And this is not a shot in the locker of contemplative butterflies to throw at industrious ants. It is a word to the heart pressed, which is expressed in the gospel elsewhere. Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. How will you rest? Martha's got the recipe wrong. And that following the Christ which she thinks is appropriate has robbed her of Christ. She's crashing around in the scullery, and Mary is reaping the benefit. And I'm sure what Jesus is really saying is, turn off the stove. Come and sit down. Stop making my visit to you into a nuisance. And come and be loved in the sitting room. That's the only thing that's needed for real hospitality. And perhaps we could all hear those words if we will listen to them gracefully tonight. Lord, do not let us banish from our lives the precious image and experience of rest. In whatever cause, help us in our obedience to you to keep the Sabbath when we are slaving to no one.